welcome to another episode of GT Radio. My name is Tino Magnetta, and I have just the most wonderful guest tonight. She has quite a story. I think you're gonna enjoy listening to all the adventures that she's been through. Welcome to the show, Leticia Peterson.
Good evening.
Now, I heard you guys had a powwow over the weekend. Tell me a little bit about it. It's been a little while since you had the powwow at your casino, right?
Yeah, we actually had, we brought back our Legends Casino powwow, and we haven't had our powwow in, I'd say, about 8 or 9 years. We were asked by our oversight committee and our membership, tribal membership, to bring it back online. And so this is our first year back online. We started planning months ago, of course, and this is pretty much our largest event of the year. And we had a great turnout. We had people from all over the country, even into Canada, come out for our event.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been to the powwow. It's just the most amazing thing. Tell us, a lot of people that are listening have probably never been to a powwow. Tell us what a powwow is. I think people are very familiar with the word, but I don't think they know the meaning behind it and what it is. Can you describe to our listeners what exactly takes place?
Sure. I'll tell you my version, and of course there's going to be people that have different versions, but I grew up going to powwows. My family has always participated. My mother was really well known in our area, so I grew up, and my father was a silversmith, so we traveled a lot to powwows over the years. So the way I would explain an event as a powwow, I'd say it's pretty much a gathering of people. We have a lot of tribal memberships of all over the country come and participate in dance. And I think it's evolved over the years. I think it's gone from what we call a traditional powwow to more of a competitive powwow. And it could mean a lot. I mean, a lot of people invest their lives into it. They travel across the country. They travel across maybe even just close in their region. But it's a gathering of people. They come together. A lot of times there's kind of ceremonial type grand entries where, you know, it's a welcoming, it's an opening to the event. It's a participant to show powwow regalia that people wear. There's different types of dances within the event of the evening. They usually last for 2 or 3 days. And if it's funded, usually sometimes they'll have like competition powwow type events where you can compete against other dancers for a place in their event. So it's pretty exciting, and we were really happy to bring it back.
Yeah, it's sort of a coming together. And it's kind of like a whole big family coming together and having not just a party, but a celebration of your heritage and all the great things about Native nations, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, if you really look at the history of the different dances, they come from different parts of Indian country. You know, you have meanings and explanations behind outfits. You have people who have regalia that get carried on from generation to generation. And there's certain things that I think people, when you grow up in it and you get to see, it becomes a family. You know, you have an extension of a family in different parts of the country that you go visit and you get to see and you get to watch your children grow up together. I mean, it's definitely something I think in Indian country, people feel very comfortable when they go to a powwow. They get to see not only the dance, but they get to see their family. They get to eat good food. And it's a really great community-based event. So,
yeah,
in our area, it's a big deal. So we're pretty excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, and you said it's been like 8 or 9 years since you had it there, right? So that was even a bigger deal.
Yeah, you know, we went offline for a bit. You know, I think when we had our Legends powwow, we were starting to become very well known. We had a lot of attention because we had some spotlight dances, and we had a lot of people coming from all areas of the U.S. and into Canada, and we were getting established. But with the expansion and everything that was happening on our property, you know, we had to make choices, and we ended up putting a pause there. And we usually had our powwow back in August of every year. We maintained the same date. So when we came back online and we looked at the powwow calendar, we decided to go with May because it's our anniversary month. So we just celebrated 21 years in the casino. So we chose our anniversary month.
What a milestone.
And, yeah, it was huge. So it's really exciting.
So speaking of milestones and just going back in time, tell us a little bit. You were born on the res, right? Tell us a little bit about, you know, growing up on the res and how it was.
Okay. Well, I'm actually from the reservation I work for. I grew up here on the Yakima Nation Reservation, and I could say that my experiences here growing up on the res I've been fortunate. I was raised by a good, solid family. I have a pretty good understanding of my culture because my mother, my grandfather, various generations of teachings have been passed down to me. I grew up here right in Toppenish, Washington, where actually our casino's at. Our land base and our tribal right now, the Yakima Nation's about 10,500 members. Growing up, you know, it was just a big part of who we are and our cultures, and it's really deeply rooted here in the valley. My experiences growing up, you know, I went to a normal, regular high school, or elementary all the way through high school, and then probably about my sophomore year, I had some things that happened in life, and I ended up going to the tribal school to kind of catch up on my credits, and I ended up staying there, and I graduated from our private Yakima Nation Tribal School and way back in 97. So I was able to graduate from there, and I stayed in the valley. I was a young mother at a young age, and I stayed in the area, and I went to our local community college and resided still here on the reservation. And I eventually finished my bachelor's degree I would travel to Ellensburg, Washington. And so I'd be on the road at a minimum two and a half hours, depending if it was the weather. I would travel every day and commute to the university in Ellensburg, Washington, where I finished my degree because I had to stay near my reservation. So I love the reservation. You know, I haven't left. It's a part of who I am. I'm raising my children here. I'm married here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, I'm invested.
That's really cool. A lot of people don't know this, but the Yakima Nation was a pretty enterprising nation even before gaming. They had a lot of stuff going on. Tell us a little bit about what they had. They had businesses going on.
Yeah, well, I would say before the Legends, we opened up our casino back in 1998, but prior to that, the Yakima Nation actually has a very large land base. We have a timberland, forest land, excuse me, that we maintain and manage. We own a good portion of the Mount Adams here in the Northwest, and we were able to open up a large log mill. We have Yakima Forest Products that we run, and we're able to kind of maintain and manage our own lands. We have a forestry division from the very beginning, even a reforestation program, all the way through the entire process of milling it and selling it out across the U.S. and even across the world. So we have a pretty big investment in our forest land, maintaining our forest land and keeping it. We also ventured into land enterprise. We have a flourishing, pretty solid company that's been running a lot longer than Legends Casino. We at one time owned a juice factory, and at one time we even owned a furniture factory. For one reason or another, things changed, and we don't own those companies anymore. It was the Yakima Sun Kings. I think it was like a semi-pro basketball team we owned here in the Yakima Valley. Other than that, we also opened up some newer entities here on the reservation. We have a entity of Yakima Power. We have a Yakima Nation Networks. We even started an ag division recently. So we've dabbled into a lot, trying to maintain and manage our own land. We have a lot of fishing. Fishing and forestry is huge here. So we have an entire division dedicated within our Yakima Nation that actually run and manage all of our resources. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff. What kind of lessons did you learn from your parents?
You know, I was again raised here on the reservation, and my mother actually comes from the it's a band of the Yakima Nation down near the Dells, Oregon, on the other side of the Columbia River, and it's the YM band, and that's where my mother's from. My grandfather was actually the chief of that area, so the investment my grandparents made into my mother was actually very well known in our community. She was the first Miss Yakima Nation. So living under the shadow of somebody like that, she traveled a lot. She was at that time, they used our royalty as, they were the ones that would be ambassadors to the Yakima Nation. They would travel with the council people. She was a big part of the process when we got our mountain back. And so growing up under that, including my grandfather and my grandmother, I learned quite a bit. And on my dad's side, my grandmother, she married into the Hispanic culture and the Mexican culture here in the valley. And so I got a piece of that as well. And so I growing up, being a part of what I call two worlds, my parents were really, really they ingrained into me the importance of being able to balance what I call two worlds. So being able to understand my culture with the combination of balancing that out with being educated and living, in society, mainstream society. So it was a really important factor in my life. My mother was very supportive, but she said, there's a time and place. And when it's time for you to be a part of your traditions, be a part of your people, then that's your priority. And I try to keep that balance. It's not always easy in the capacity that I run today, but it's really important and it's a big part of who I am.
Now, you're very interesting. You were in a, when you talk about women in the workforce, one of your first experiences working was in a male-dominated area, and you worked at the mill, right?
I worked for Yakima Forest Products for about 6 years. I started in the sales office. I worked, and of course, I've never worked in a lumber mill before, and at that time, it was a male-dominant industry. And I can say that it was quite an experience. It was a good experience. It helped me gain some great sales skills. But at that time, and since then it's evolved, similar to the gaming industry. At that time, it was very prominent or dominant to male. I'd go to trainings. There was a lot of investment in me as a young tribal member. I was able to travel and meet different people. But In the 6 years that I worked there, it was dominant, and it wasn't always easy, but I never took that. I always took that more of a challenge, and I was fortunate enough to have very strong support from the people I worked for. I worked under pretty solid management at the time, and I gained a lot of skills in a very short period of time, and I was able to. I felt very good about my abilities and my opportunities, but again, it was being brave enough and being strong enough to be able to hang with that. And like the gaming industry, it's a very well seasoned, oiled machine. The gaming industry and the lumber industry, and it was quite a great experience. I would say it's probably one of my most favorite experiences in my career.
Now, you were probably the only woman working in all those departments. What are the qualities that you need to have to be able to do that? Because a lot of people that will be listening who were also the only women at the table and managed to work through that, What advice can you give women that are working in those kind of environments?
I would say my advice would be to know who you are and to be able to maintain that strength within that, you know, whatever comes your way. I mean, if you're always looking, if you're always looking for the negative, if you're always looking for what's going to hold you back, or if people are going to try to hold you back, you know, that you're putting up your own obstacles. But being open-minded, open-hearted, and being strong in your own personal morals and belief systems, and don't be afraid to take that risk of learning something new, and keeping that, keeping the drive, and of course maintaining your integrity and ethics as you're doing it, I think all play into your success. And I think in any industry you're going to have challenges, whether it's if it's male dominant or not. There's always going to, maybe it's a political factor, maybe it's maybe it has to do with your background or experience or your education. Whatever challenges bring, if you're confident and if you understand and gain the knowledge that you need to do the job, stepping up to the plate is the biggest thing. Being able to be confident, being able to keep moving even when it feels like it's muddy. And I think a lot of times people hold themselves back when they look at, you know, either maybe it's too much work, or too many people are going to be against me. And, you know, I experienced that this weekend. You know, at this powwow, I was, my team was, we were so busy. You know, everybody had their place, everybody had their part. But when somebody needed to get something done, we all collectively pulled together and we ran out of parking. And so I'm out there with the flaggers, with our marketing director, and literally picking up rocks and getting them out of the way because we want people to trip. And one of my relatives drove by and jokingly said, wow, sister, you're so devoted. I can't believe you're out here picking up rocks. You're the general manager. And I stood up and dusted my hands off, and I said, you know, I wouldn't have got this far if I wasn't devoted and dedicated to my job. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm out here with everybody else. And, again, I think it's being involved, being driven, and not being afraid to jump in and go for it. So
yeah,
that's my advice.
Why do you think you were the only woman at the table? And why have you been able to be successful in that environment?
I think, well, when I entered to, when I, the one, I guess the first experience I had was when I was when I was at the lumber mill. Great people, male, female, they're all great people, so there's no discredit to them at all. But when I got into the management level, it was pretty much male. And being at that table, being there and maintaining the knowledge to keep up with everybody at that table, because similar to my entrance into the gaming industry, I had no prior lumber industry. I came out of college. I worked some jobs here and there, but I didn't have that forestry element in my background, or it was pretty slim. So working my way up into opportunities and facing challenges and getting to that table, you know, I when I sat at that table, I accepted that I belonged at that table. And you know, I made a lot of mistakes, just like anybody when they enter management. You know, there's things that I wish I would have done differently. But I learned from them, and I continued to keep my mind and my heart open to want to understand things, want to learn things, and to learn from other people, learn from people that I worked for, their mistakes. And being able to accept and acknowledge my own mistakes, I think I'm at a point now where, you know, I tell new management that. I say, you know, you're going to make mistakes. Going back and reflecting on those things, acknowledging them, is going to make you a better manager. So being the only female at the table, being so young in my career at the time, I can say that my my being the female at the table, I think it was challenging, but I had so many other challenges at the same time. And so, again, you know, just being ready to work, being ready to validate to yourself why you're sitting at that table in the first place. You know, that personal reflection of who you are as a woman, as a manager, you know, as a enrolled member, sitting there and knowing your worth and knowing your value to what you have to offer.
Tell us a little bit about your journey to the GM position.
Okay, well, that's a good one. So when I worked, like I said, I worked for a lumber mill for about 6 years, really enjoyed it, but it was time to try something different, and I moved on, and I actually worked for a local radio company, a cluster here in the Yakima Valley, and I did that for about a year. And in that time frame, I had a good friend of mine that worked here at Legends Casino, and I personally, I had no interest in coming to work at the casino. I just, for some reason, it just wasn't on my radar in any way. And he just kept saying, you know, hey, I think this would be a great industry for you. Hey, there's an opening coming up. Hey, we have a Keys to Success program, which I'll explain in a minute or two. But he kept prompting, just, you know, trying to tell me I belonged here. And so finally, about a year into my time working for the radio station, an opportunity came up here at Legends. They have a Keys to Success program where they look for tribal members who have the ability to step into a training position to become a full-time director, our manager. And at the time that I entered the program, they had an opening for the machines department, the slot department, to become an assistant slot director to run our revenue department, the machines department. Mind you, I had no idea the magnitude of that department, nor did I understand it, what slots really meant, other than I knew what a slot machine was. So the program is a 2-year program promoted by the Yakima Nation to help tribal members become leaders or directors in management capacities within the organization. So I went through a rigorous interview process. I interviewed I had to interview by a full panel of directors. I had to do a presentation. They gave me a scenario. It was a little bit odd. I've never experienced this level of a process. And I ended up getting down to the final, and then they finally selected me. The gentleman who actually hired me within the department, by the time I got to the casino, had left, and he went to go work for another casino here in Washington, and I entered the property with no direct report. And mind you, I've never ran a slot department. And so I hit the floor running, and I was going really hard. So in 2 years, I ended up gaining what I needed to know and knowledge. If you're not educated, they support you in that. But I had education. If you don't have management skills, they provide that. I already had that component as well. So I think I had a little bit of an easier transition into a director role. And I became the director, and I ran that department for about 8 years. After about 8 years of running the department, which I truly loved and enjoyed, we went through quite a bit of turnover at the general manager level. And it was at the point where I was at a crossroads on whether I wanted to stay with the company or do something about it. And to be honest, I had no interest of becoming a general manager. That wasn't really, I mean, it really wasn't on my radar. I wasn't interested. I was really happy with the role I was playing here in the casino. I was good at it, and I was pretty comfortable. But I seen so much of a need for change and leadership because I worked for so many different people, good people. They weren't horrible, but I worked for various reasons. They had to leave our company, and I decided to step up to the plate. So I went up against, I don't know, from what I was told, I wasn't a part of the actual interview paneling, but I went up to against about 60 applicants, down to 30, down to 23, down to 19, down to 8, down to 3. And then they made a selection. And at that time, I can't even say that I was a selection that anybody necessarily understood, because they couldn't understand how somebody with no prior general manager experience could outscore 30-year veterans in the industry. And so there was doubt and concern, because the Legends Casino is the number one revenue generating entity of our Yakima Nation. So I went through two huge sessions standing at our tribal council table, basically explaining to them, re-interviewing with them, and making them comfortable with a decision. And ultimately, it was their decision to bring me in as a general manager. And you would think it would be the opposite, being I'm a tribal member, but, you know, they did the right thing. They wanted to make sure I was the right fit and the right person. So I've been the GM for about a little bit over two years. I ended up stepping into the role right as we opened up the hotel side, because we did a complete expansion. We added 200-room hotel. We expanded our gaming floor. We added new food courts. So we had a huge, huge expansion project that I swear felt like it lasted a lifetime, but we finally did it. And it's been great. I mean, is it challenging? Yes. We have more to do? Yes. But I feel really good about it. And I think the first year it was run, and you know that second year I felt like I settled in a little bit. Of course, we're still running, but it's been a great opportunity.
Do you think that if you were a man, that experience would have been different? You would have been put under just the same amount of scrutiny?
You know, I can't speak for all enrolled tribal members here in the Yakima Valley, but I know growing up in my upbringing that in our tribe we have very distinct roles and responsibilities, and you're raised to know and understand those responsibilities growing up. So I always remember a conversation I actually had with my father-in-law. He's not with us anymore, but I remember this conversation because it was burned into my heart. You know, he was just saying what he knows. And I remember him telling me that women did not belong on the tribal council table, and he said that that's not their place, and he explained the why. And in our culture, the women stand behind the men and support them. They stand behind the man and give that behind the scenes support, and the male in our tribe are the decision makers, the chiefs. They're the front, and they're the ones up front. And like, you know, just like you're probably, I don't know if you're married, but you know, but when you're at home, you know,
yep,
who the real boss
yeah.
is, right? Same kind
yep.
of idea.
Absolutely.
And when I heard that, I understood it, and I wasn't offended by it. And so when I went through this general manager process, one of our tribal leaders told me, he said, when I was interviewing and I was going through the preliminaries, he said, you know what you're getting into. He said, you know how it is within our tribe, and you're a female. And I said, I go, anybody else would be offended by that, but yes, I understand. And the reason I understand is because I was raised here and I understand it. And I do feel it. And sometimes it upsets me, but at the end of the day, I understand and I know, and I can acknowledge and move forward with it because I understand it. And I think if it's not embedded into you, or if you're an outsider coming in, you're offended by those things. But if you know the reason why, you're able to move forward. And I still took the role. I still took the responsibility. And is it harder? I would say yes, it is harder. But I accepted it.
Yeah, it's interesting what we're talking about right now, because even though the sort of odds were stacked against you because of your gender, you still managed to push through. And I think one of the key things that you said was, did I agree with it? No. But did I understand it? Yes. And by you understanding it, your reaction to it wasn't one of rage, right? It was one of understanding. Am I correct there?
Yeah, when I'm faced in those moments, I it's one of those things where I acknowledge, and surprisingly, even the same traditional man that sits at our council table, he's the exact same person that will get up and support me when I need it. And again, it goes back to knowing who you are, knowing your role, obviously knowing your position and what you're there for, and representing yourself in the right way. I think, in a way, I have an advantage because I'm a tribal member. I have some, and sometimes it doesn't work for me, but other times it does, because when I'm at that table, they don't have to explain things to me because I already know. And again, I think it goes both ways. And being able to stand there and being strong enough internally is important, but do I go home and I think and overthink things? Of course I do. And I think no matter who you are, what your background is, male or female, you will have those moments. And it's being able to uphold and maintain who you are in the important times to be able to stand up to those situations, and like like I said, understand it and accept it, acknowledge and move forward. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what you've accomplished. What are some of the obstacles that you had to overcome when you took on this role?
From a business standpoint, we have obstacles because we're our location. That's if we're talking from a business standpoint, we are a dry reservation, so we actually do not serve alcohol here at our property. I would say that's a challenge. Tribal employment is a huge a role important factor to our casino, because they actually open up our casino with two intents. Of course, one, to make revenue, but two, equally, if not more important elements, is to hire tribal membership. So currently we've tried to maintain a level of tribal membership, and out of 800 plus team members, 51% of our tribal employment is Yakima, and we have 68% tribal affiliated. So we're investing into our tribal membership also while being a very good neighbor and to our surrounding communities, because our actual reservation's checkerboarded. So we have elements of the city of Toppenish, the Yakima County, so there are unique elements to our area. But we have a big drive of tribal employment, tribal development. So challenges in that aspect from a business standpoint have been something that we're working towards and improving. On a personal level, challenges transitioning in from a director level to a general manager level. It took me a little bit to get people to understand my management style, to understand why and how I got into the role and the position. And I think that my background and my relationships as prior to me transitioning into that role, it was a good thing, and it also was a hard thing. So I've had to face all of that. Overall, Northwest Tribal Gaming, Washington, very, very strong gaming industry. We definitely have been fortunate in our area, and growth, increased revenue. We've been very fortunate in that aspect. So I don't know if that answered your question.
When you think about the future, what do you see? You not only for gaming, but for the Native Nations, what do you see in the future?
I think that we are going to see a huge growth across Indian country, Indian gaming. We're already seeing it. People are transitioning into resorts, integrated casinos. I mean, having a lot of opportunity and growth within tribes becoming huge players in having multiple casinos. And I think that you're going to see more and more of that. I think we got to be careful not to oversaturate it. But, you know, we have to be able to be stronger in, and I think that, you know, we're building reservations back up. I think it's important for tribes to understand that they shouldn't put all their eggs in a basket. You know, I'm proud of our Yakima Nation because we were able to dabble into, we have a power company. You know, we have a Yakima Nation Networks. We have a land enterprise. I mean, not relying solely on a casino, I think, is an important element to growth and maintaining, you know, when, you know, things shift and maybe the gaming industry isn't as strong as it needs to be, that we have other resources and other entities that we can turn to. I think you're also seeing evolution of people growing, not just women, but people just growing and learning the trade and understanding it, growing up in the trade, and I think becoming more business-minded and being able to run our own properties. You know, when I first started in the gaming industry, there was a big flood of various people that came through from Vegas, you know, that kind of flooded into the Indian country and in the casinos. And today you're seeing a mix of it. And I think that's good business. You know, people are bringing different elements from either working for a reservation. And I'm not talking tribal, non-tribal. I'm talking about experience. So they're gaining experience in Indian gaming, and we're starting to see that movement, and it's a huge industry, but everybody knows everybody, and so I think if anything it's going to grow and it's going to evolve, and as you bring in other elements of sports betting and online gaming and all of the various opportunities we have, I think all of that is going to be a part of our future. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, some exciting stuff. What do you think makes Washington so special in terms of gaming? And not only that, but there seems to be a collaborative spirit in Washington. What makes Washington State special?
I would say that we've all entered into a industry here together, and we all support each other. And it's the weirdest thing because you have people that come from outside and they just can't understand Washington. Why do you guys talk to each other? Our vendors tell us that. You know, they know that I could pick up the phone and call Angie at Clearwater. They know I can pick up the phone and talk to Kevin at Northern Quest. We have conversations. We talk about the regulations. We talk about trying to support a common cause to improve the industry for us here, because everything is built for Washington. It's a tribal lottery. And so a lot of times we're behind in the sense because we don't get all of the upgrades everybody else gets. We don't get all of the new machines and the themes that everybody else gets. When I go to the gaming shows, to NIGA, to G2E, my section's a little tiny piece of the entire IGT footprint or the scientific gaming footprint. They say, oh, here's your Washington piece. And that's starting to evolve. Our space is starting to get bigger. We're starting to get product firsthand. I mean, it's a strong industry, and I think it's starting to evolve. I remember going to OIGA a few years ago, and I remember I went to the I was a slot director then. I went to Aristocrat, and I said, "When are you guys coming to Washington?" And they said, "What are you doing in Oklahoma?" So I said, I'm looking for a variety of games, and I want to know why you're not in Washington yet. And they're here. So, again, I think we're a strong market, and it's starting to show where, you know, at one time we were limited, and I think that's why we get along so well, because we were in the battlefield together. We were trying to get things to Washington because we wanted to be competitive. you know, we've been, it's really a great place to work, and I would say, and you can ask any vendor, they'll tell you, yeah, they talk up there because we do.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Should we take some calls?
Sure.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Leticia? Hello, can you hear us?
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, it's Rogelio in North Dakota. Hi, Leticia.
How are you, Rogelio?
Hello.
Good. Sorry, I'm still in the office, and I looked down, and I realized I was still on mute. I'm like, how come they can't hear me? Sorry about that.
Where are you, Rogelio?
I'm still in the office. Still in North Dakota.
There you go.
Yep.
You're at Dakota Magic, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, at Dakota
cool,
Magic.
Cool.
Leticia,
stuff.
You talked about the future of Native Nations and what you see in Indian gaming, and you've accomplished a lot. Congratulate
mm-hmm.
you on that, and very proud to see a tribal member, especially a woman, grow up the ranks and really help out their tribe and their casino. What is next for your future and Legends Casino? What do you see yourself doing next in the years to come?
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yep.
I would say, to answer your question, as far as Legends Casino goes, you know, I'm just coming up on my I'm past about 10 and a half years here at Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for my tribe for over 16 years now, and I would say that my future, I'm anticipating being a big part of this casino growing, adding a second, a third site to the Yakima Nation casino properties in Washington. I'm hoping that I'm going to be a big part of that. In addition, you know, I think it's an important element to add opportunity. You know, I mentioned earlier we're a dry reservation, and in a lot of ways it's challenging. So one of the things that I'm hoping to do is to be able to communicate to the nation that they can make a decision. The decision is not mine, and I'm one voting member of the tribe, but at the same time I want to be the expert in my field of expertise to be able to provide them information so that they can make a good decision. And
sure.
I think making decisions, having a knowledge and having that supporting resource and information to be able to help our tribe move in the right direction is going to be a big part of what I hope in the success of my future. If it turns out that it doesn't work out for me here at Legends, I'm very confident and comfortable that I'll end up where I need to be. I'm very blessed in regards to my time that I've had with the casino. You know, it's not very often you hear people that work five to 10 years at any one property, and you know, I feel fortunate to have that.
No, it's
but
amazing.
At the same time, I'm open and I understand things change. You know, maybe the tribe will go in a different direction and things will change for me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you gave advice to other women and tribal members that could be coming up through the ranks. I heard that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What this might be a little difficult to answer, but besides a good impression, what other impressions would you want to leave for future tribal members of your tribe and specifically women in your tribe? What message you want to give to them?
I think if you are any young tribal member, male or female, I think when you show up, you know, it's very random. You know, I call it pulling the tribal card. You know, I find that in my successes I worked for Central Washington University. Like I said, I work for other entities outside of the nation. Showing up and knowing your value, knowing your worth, and presenting it and being humble and being able to show a skill set and being confident in that, I think is an important element. But as a tribal member, I think it's equally important to show up and not to rely on that tribal membership to become a leader or to become a management. You know, I've had tribal members work for me that pull that card. And I said, you know, I have the same card as you do. And being able to have the understanding that, you know, you have to work for where you end up. And when opportunities come and you see that opportunity, that you leave the entitlement at the door. Because if you're really there for the right reasons and you want to be there to improve your tribe, you step up to plate and you work hard. Because if anything, I don't know anybody else's tribal experiences, but, you know, we're not always nice to our own tribal members. And here at Yakima, is definitely, it's challenging at times. And, you know, I feel fortunate, and it's being able to work hard and to be the leader. It's different from being, just being a manager. You need to learn how to be the leader, because I still see everybody that I work with when I go out to a powwow, you know, when I go out into the community. I know all the families. So
right.
I still have to get out of my house and go do stuff. I have to go shopping on the weekends. So,
right.
you know,
It's the love of the tribe and the job, right?
Mhm. Mhm.
Yep.
So,
great.
I don't know if that answered your question. I hope it did.
Yeah, it did. It did. I'm sure. Yeah, it did. All right. Well, thank you.
Great question. Thank you so much, Aurelio. Have a good evening.
You too.
Yes, great questions. Hello, good evening. You have a question for Leticia?
I certainly have. Good evening, Tino and Leticia. This is Heidi from Southern California, Temecula. How are you guys and ladies?
Hello.
Hi.
Fantastic.
I'm so happy when Tino has a female leader on the show, and he's very good at balancing that. Thank you so much, Tino, because that's when I bring out my popcorn and my pina colada and really enjoy the insights. So, Leticia, I'm really passionate about elevating young leaders and women in tribal gaming, so I'm so excited to hear you, your insights. I wanted to know from you, you spoke about making mistakes as you went up your career path from sales to HR to machines and slots. What do you feel, maybe if you could name two top common mistakes that you see women specifically in gaming make that hinder from them achieving those higher top positions?
You know, I would say my own personal experiences. I would say the mistake that I've seen, and the mistake that I've seen, whether it's something I've dealt with or something I've seen other women deal with, is we try to, I guess, oversell ourselves in the sense that we're always trying to prove ourselves. You know, we're always trying to make sure that we give the laundry list of our compliments, or laundry list of what we could do. And I think that the difference that I've seen in a male versus a female is a man kind of shows up and they own it. You know, they get to the table, they know they belong there. And I think that confidence level, that a woman needs to maintain that confidence level, and I've seen it, and I've seen great representation of that. And I think that there has been times that, you know, when you're challenged and when you think of things and you overthink things, because, you know, I don't know if that's something all people do or what women do. I know I've done it. You know, we get to that point, and we get to that opportunity, and you can see it. And
Absolutely.
If you don't have that confidence, if you don't have that perseverance to get through it, you know, it's maintaining that professionalism when you get there. And I don't want to say don't show your weaknesses, because you still need that human element. And I think sometimes people think that, you know, you have to be hardcore, but it's different for a woman. You have to be able to still maintain your professionalism, and you still have to be approachable. And having
that balance
when you get there is important. I think the other part of it is just being able to show up and do the job. If you if you know what you're doing and you're confident in what you're doing, and you're open-minded and open-hearted, then you'll find that balance. So, you know, that's what I think.
Those are two great ones. Thank you. And what for you, you know, you mentioned it went down to three applicants. What do you feel was the differentiating factor when you got that GM position that made you stand out from the other two applicants? What was it, that, apart from being tribal, of course, what do you feel they saw in you?
You know, at the time I applied for the job, and the people that were working here that interviewed me, they actually did various panels. So I didn't get scored just by other directors. I got scored by our oversight committee, and I also got scored by other tribal entity general managers. So they brought other Yakima Nation entities in to take me through
right.
the ringer. And mm-hmm. I would say what stood me apart from other people, one is I have the heart, you know, I have the drive, and I have that. I have that understanding of what it is to be a leader. And I think that we see a lot of people go from one property to another and not understand the dynamics, not understand the people, not understand the processes. And I think I had that already because I knew what I was signing up for. And so,
right, you ingrained in the culture.
Yes, and of course, there's improvements that are needed, and that's why I was applying for the job. But at the same time, I wasn't disrespectful to the position. I wasn't disrespectful mm-hmm. to the current situation of the company I was applying for, and I was really dumbfounded how I could outscore, and I didn't find that out right away. I found that out, you know, after. And I've met a few people that applied for jobs here, and
yeah.
and you know, they would have been great fits for us, but at the same time, you know, for one reason or another, at that point in time, I was selected. And I think again, it goes back to, you know, I am a hard worker. You know, if you give
mm-hmm,
me
mm-hmm.
if I can see what the nation's asking for, and I try to get
mm-hmm.
it, you know, I'm going to make that goal, and it's going to be something that I'm going to share with our team. We're going to pull together a plan, and we're
right.
going to try to move in that direction. And I keep telling my team, you know, I'm going to walk. I'm walking this way. And this is the direction
Follow
we're going,
me.
You know,
absolutely.
And you know, if you're going to help out, this is where we're going. And, you know, I give them
I
the
love
plan.
It. I love it. Thank you so much. So thank you for all your encouragement. And thank you, Tino. Have a good
thank
evening.
You.
Thank you.
You too. Have
thank
a great
you so
one.
Much for calling in. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great questions.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of strength that you need to have. Like you said, the men come in and they own it, right? There's never any
mm-hmm.
doubt. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Leticia Peterson?
Evening, guys. Hey, Leticia. This is Nick Bossing. How are you?
Hi. Hey,
good.
How is it going?
Great. I'll have to admit, I've never been to your property. I kind of looked you up when you were talking to kind of get a feel for it. And the first thing I saw is you have war coming in concert, and that kind of warms my heart. Brings
well,
up
thank
a lot
you, yes.
of memory.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like I have quite a few of those. The first question I have is, you have an 18 and plus casino, right?
Yes.
Are there any things you do to attract the 18 to 21 year old crowd, because I'm not really used to seeing a whole, I don't interact with a lot of casinos that are, you know, offer 18 plus.
So our property has been an 18 and over casino, primarily because we don't serve alcohol, so we're allowed to open up that element of the market. I can't say that there are certain things that we've tried to do to draw in that customer, but that customer at that age and at that time don't necessarily have the money, the disposable income to come to our property. So it's not a huge factor to our bottom line and our revenue, but they are still our clientele and our customer base. So a lot of times they gravitate and they start at those table games. You know, they're coming here for that social element. It's funny because every person I know that turns 18, their big goal is to come to Legends Casino and gamble, and I think it's just hilarious. You know, they wanna press the button, or they wanna play the card game, and For this property, I would say there's not in our area, there's not a whole lot going on in our area. So the entertainment value that Legends brings to our community, I think, is a natural draw. You know, we're not in a large city. There's not a whole lot to do, and that in that 18 to 21, 18 to 25 range. So we see a lot of people come down and enjoy our property. Adding the hotel element, you know, they're able to enjoy our property. We have a brand new food court. So again, we're 24/7. So people come down and they enjoy our property for those areas. So it's
like a
unique.
Rite of passage, 18 plus.
I would have to say yes. You know, people talk about it. You know, I've gone to I have middle teenage kids that have become adults, and that's one of the first things. And it's funny because usually they don't understand what I do for a living, and then they get here and they're like, "Oh, you mean you run all of this?" And they've never been into the property, or they didn't understand what I do. And you know, it's amazing to them, you know. And so some of them come to work for us. We have a lot of young people that come out of high school that come to work for us because, you know, we allow them to. You know, they're coming to have their first job here at our casino. So
yeah. Did your kids
rite of passage.
All of a sudden say you're really cool?
You know, I don't. I would say my kids' friends think I'm cool. I don't know if my son
and my
daughter do. Yeah, I'm more of the mom. I want to go to a movie. I need my phone bill paid kind of mom. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice an uptick in like Portland and Seattle customers when you built your hotel, or is that still pretty local?
You know, it's been an interesting ride with bringing our hotel online, because if you don't know, if you're in Washington, you've heard of Yakima, but unless you reference yourself as Yakima, we're in Toppenish. So unless you know where Toppenish, it's been a challenge to get people to come through our area. But when they get here, they're completely thrown by how much we have going on here in Toppenish, Washington. We've had a lot of returning customers out of we have a Tri-Cities market down kind of we're kind of in between us and Wild Horse. We share Tri-Cities. Yakima is pretty large, and then if you pull from Ellensburg or even Wenatchee in Washington, we have a pretty big draw. What we're fortunate as far as the Yakima Nation goes is we have a huge land base of tribal land. So once we decide to pull that trigger, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with in our market. We just need to keep moving in the right direction, and I'm hoping to be a part of that.
Oh, great. Is there any leverage you can use by being close to the Cascade Mountains, or are you already doing it?
You know, I would say that we would have a great draw if we could use our own. We own our own mountain, but our nation has decided to keep that as closed. So we actually have closed gates to our mountain. You have to go through guard gates for it. So I think they've chosen to preserve that. But as far as the Washington, the central, if you look up the Yakima Nation and you look up the land base, the reservation is really small. But if you look up the ceded land base, our land actually goes all the way up into central Washington, Wenatchee, through various big areas, all the way down to the Columbia River. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. And if we wanted to build something and take advantage of those are definitely available to us.
Great. Yeah. I appreciate you educating myself and others on this. I had no idea. This is great.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Bye-bye. All right, Leticia, what a great show. I really appreciate you coming on. Some of the things you said about the whole gender struggle and all that is really inspiring. And I think that a lot of people on the show are going to walk away with a lot of enthusiasm about that. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate all your time. And you guys do a great job of collecting and providing the information, and it's been fun. I wasn't sure how this was going to turn out, so I'm going to have to go back and look at some of your other broadcasts. I'm excited to see that.
Oh, yeah. I think we're over 90 episodes now, so we have 90 hours of of shows. And yeah, there's some great shows in there. I mean, so many great people, and it's been quite an experience. I'm really got a lot of gratitude for being able to talk to all these people. So I really appreciate you being on the show tonight, and I hope we'll have you on again.
Yes, thank you so much, and you guys have a great evening.
Same to you. Have a great night.
Okay. All right.
Bye. Bye. Great woman. Incredible. Incredible stories, especially when it comes to the gender and how she coped with that and how strong she is. Next week, I have Nancy Mace. She's the director of marketing at Gold River Casino, Lenape Entertainment. And you're going to hear some great stories. I'm glad I have a lot of women back-to-back on the show. They just have some great stories. You're going to hear some great stories from Nancy. At one time, I think she worked on naval ships, and she was the only woman on there. And she has a great story about that. Anyways, remember, everybody has a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Hope you have a great evening, and we'll see you next week.